You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Jumanji.
Joe Johnston's fucking goddamn Jumanji. Come on, give this guy...
Absolutely.
Oh, who the fuck is Joe Johnston?
Whoa, Rocketeer. Come on, say it, and then we'll fucking get into it.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day... You are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Sir, yes. I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean,
biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead
fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes,
the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. That's hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talk and Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
I rolled
good.
A 5 and an 8. Or an 8.
Nice.
What? You can't roll both. Whatever. I fucked that up. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Riggs.
You know, my father used to show me this movie all the time once. I mean, I've seen him before. What's up, guys? How you doing? Hey.
We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey, and here we are talking about 1995 special effects family, fantasy adventure spectacle?
An adventure for adventure those who event. Seek to find a way to leave their world behind.
AKA
Fuck.
Movies. Yeah.
It's a jungle in there.
Now it's starting to feel like home.
Yeah, big budget movie, post Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of special effects in this.
Very few of them hold up to Jurassic Park.
Hair. It's the hair, right? Because the crocodile looks good. The only thing that has hair that looks good in this movie really is the lion.
But he still looks fake. He looks like he's stuffed, you know?
Well, there's like two versions of the lion. There's like the animatronic shit that they do for like the mediums and close-ups and stuff. And then there's the... animated computer generated thing that's like bounding down the stairs and
walking over the piano.
Yeah.
I feel like those are still like puppety stuff, but yeah.
I don't think that stuff's bad, but the monkeys are terrible.
The monkeys are terrible.
But what if, is it a style thing?
No, I'll give the crocodile, the lion, and the spiders. That's a style thing, it feels like to me.
Yeah.
And the big plant with the yellow.
Yeah.
Like the, you know, Audrey 2 looking thing.
Yeah. They're making it look goofy so it's not like, you know, because it's a PG movie, you know. We don't want it to be too scary.
They want it to be a little bit cartoonish in the campiness, which feels pretty Joe Johnston.
I really liked the use of that also. Like, it wasn't, like, they weren't trying to, like, lean too much into the super realism. It looked like a kid's imagination had come to life, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the monkeys are they don't hold up at all.
No,
like
not
they're
at all.
They're kind
they're
of the worst
faces.
Part of
yeah.
Yeah.
They look really washed out. There's the contrast is super different. Like they look too close to trying to be real but not cartoony enough cuz they're not quite either thing. Like,
and the animation is wonky cuz they're kind of like trying to keep them animated like real monkeys but then also give them human personalities.
Yeah. Like when they're on the fucking motorcycle and one of them's holding a goddamn pistol and they're all like scowling.
Yeah, that's a very bizarre. That one is extremely draws your eye to how bad it is because the hair's not moving on the monkeys even though they're on a motorbike.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know.
Because they're
so
wearing
wrong.
Helmets, Brian.
What?
They have hair on the rest of their body. You know?
Monkey's like, oh, I just got to worry about my dude, man. Put the helmet on.
They're going to get helmet hair.
They learn quickly. They know how to, you know, work a kitchen, kind of, you know, drive motorcycles and cars.
They feel very gremlins.
They're very gremlins, very chaotic creatures.
I think that tracks, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so compare this movie to Gremlins, though. Like, do you feel like that one has heart compared to this one? Or, like,
Oh, that's
I
hard.
Haven't actually seen Gremlins, so I can't give an opinion on it. Like, yeah.
That one's kind of scary and is more set up like a fantasy horror movie. This is just, I don't know. This is a family fun adventure. It's Spielbergian as fuck. Let's just say
this movie is.
Yeah.
It feels like cardboard Spielberg. That's not original to me. I read someone else saying that, but it feels
like
an interesting
article. It feels really Spielberg.
Yeah. The score is James Horner, who also did a fuck ton of other movies, including Titanic a couple years after this.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I would say cardboard Spielberg. Like, I felt everything you would from like all those other. I guess it feels like a Spielberg produced movie, you know, like the Casper, Battery's Not Included, those movies, you know,
like an Amblin Entertainment kind of movie.
Yeah, I guess kind of like.
I was shocked when the credits rolled, and I sat and watched them, and I didn't catch any like big names that I was expecting, just because of the way the film felt. And you guys seem to know who Joe Johnston is. Like, tell me,
man.
You know who he is.
Not by name.
The Rocketeer was like a fucking staple in my house as a kid. Like, I've seen that movie probably 40 times.
Yeah, that's the big one. Before that, he did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which I think was huge.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he came from an effects background. He worked over there at ILM before it was even ILM. He goes back with the original Star Wars, or at least the sequels. I think he had a hand in designing, like, Bubba Fett. And the Iron Giant. This guy comes from a huge effects background.
Should have looked better then.
I mean, some of it feels like it should have, yeah. But like he kept going after this. Like he did fucking Captain America. Like the first Captain America he directed.
That one was good.
Yeah.
And he did Jurassic Park 3. I think that's
you're gonna follow up Spielberg with a Spielberging kind of vibe, like Joe Johnston's your dude.
Yeah. I like this guy's work a lot. And October Sky, come on.
Classic.
That's a good one. Not really a special effects film. It's kind of different from everything else, but still good. Let's not forget the Pagemaster.
Whoa, he did that too?
Yeah, dude.
Just the live action stuff.
Yeah, there's something very, like, this is going to feel like a diminutive word, generic about Joe Johnston. Like, it feels very, like, 90s family-friendly action kid movie kind of, like, generic, where you're like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what it should be. It's not super stylized. It's not super, like, interesting lighting, but, like, everything, all the beats are there. Like, he tells the story with the camera. Like, he starts on the pair of shoe sign and then tilts down. And then the next time we're there, when he's 26 years later, he starts on the shoes on the ground and he tilts up. And, like, there's plenty of ways that he communicates things just through the frame and through camera movement that while you're watching it, it feels almost like, well, yeah, how else could they have done this? But, like, he just... I like how he puts things in the frame for you to observe and to understand what's being communicated. He's it's not all just dialogue.
And he keeps it moving pretty fucking fast too. Like, I was surprised that this movie was like 100 minutes or something, and it felt like it was like 80.
Yeah.
It just flew by.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when they wrapped it up. I thought it could have kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have Peter Jackson at the end and done several more things after it, but
it does have two prologues. Okay.
That's fair. It does, actually, yeah.
And I guess it does have another ending. They you know, the game washes up on the beach somewhere else.
And the French girls are like, what is this?
Ooh, what is this? Does the game, is the game only in English? So they have no idea what it says, just crazy shit starts happening?
No, it's a magical game.
Yeah, in the franchise, like in the sequels, it turns into a video game. So... The game can do.
French girls picked it up and then made it into the video game.
You know, I'm not 100% sure. It is found on the beach in the sequel. I do remember that. I don't think it's by these girls. It's by someone else. And then they bring it back to the United States. And the guy's like, whoever the kid gets it is like, who the fuck plays board games?
And then it starts out as the board game?
Yeah. I mean, it picks up right where this movie leaves off, with the Jumanji board on a beach, the board game. And, like, he says that, and at night there's this green glowing, and then he opens the board game back up the next day when it's making the drum sound, and there's a game cartridge inside.
So the game developed itself.
That's right.
That half of the movie is them trying to find, like, an Atari system. It works.
Does anybody have something that this can plug into?
Yeah, I need to watch that one again. 2017 Jumanji was hella fun.
You know, I went back and rewatched all of them. I was surprised how goddamn entertaining they are. It's good. Yeah. It's good family entertainment.
Yeah.
Even if some of the stuff in the movie is, I don't know. I guess we have seen it before. I still think it's well done, though.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing egregious in this movie except for maybe some of the visual effects. But it's not like the shot design is poor or like the character design is terrible. It just seems like maybe it could have had a little bit more time and budget or something. I don't know. Because we've seen other movies that do similar things, but maybe not on this scale or with this number of creatures or something. I don't know. Like, 95 is still pretty early to be seeing, like, photoreal digital animation things.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like... Yeah, I mean, I guess you had Jurassic Park. I'm trying to think. Was there any big effects movie in 94 outside? Like, you had Forrest Gump.
I mean, one was Terminator 2. Wasn't that, like, 93?
Yeah, but that was just all liquid metal stuff. They weren't, like, doing
hair.
That's
what I'm saying. It's not, like, really full... Yeah, full realism, photorealism.
And I think these this one had the bigger budget, too, out of all of them.
65, so that would have been the same as Jurassic Park.
Jesus.
Because that was 65 million years in the making, and I don't know.
Is that how you remember that?
Nice. Steven did a lot more with his 65 than Joe did. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just going to say that.
Well, and these monkeys were constantly in the daylight. Like, most of that T-Rex sequence is at night. Steven Spielberg is hiding stuff in shadows.
But didn't Jurassic Park... lean, like, a lot of their effects were built on practicals. Like, they weren't, like, I feel like Jumanji is, like, generating something from scratch here, like, with the monkeys and the stampede, and those are the two things that really stand out for me.
And the the giant mosquitoes, yeah, you know, oh, yeah, they're buzzing around,
and I think that was something that was pretty entirely new at the time.
I mean, it all cuts together really well. Like the energy of the action, like, goes from the practical effects to the special effects and the visual things. Like, from shot to shot, like, the whole thing flows really, really well. It's just, it feels really, really obvious when it goes from, like, animatronic to animation for all of the different creatures that they have showing up.
A lot of that may just be us seeing it now. Like, I saw this movie a lot growing up. I don't know if I ever remember it looking, like, poorly. Did you watch this young?
Yeah, I remember when it came out. Yeah. I remember everyone thought that the effects were absolutely amazing. Like, I remember it, like, blowing people's minds. Not that we were like, oh, look, that's a real monkey. Like, no one thought it was a real monkey.
Yeah, but it works for the story.
Yeah, it works for the story. And it was, like, the first time that we had ever seen anything like that before. I do remember that.
I remember thinking the monkeys looked cartoony even then.
It's like, yeah, oh, I remember, you know. My complaint when I was a kid was the stampede.
Yes.
See, I think the stampede looks great.
I think stampede looks better than the stampede in Peter Jackson's King Kong. I think it holds up better there than it does here than it does there.
I need to go back and rewatch that, but I don't know. I want to argue that, but...
It's when they're running between the legs of the dinosaurs. I know. I know what I'm talking about.
I just need to rewatch it, Jared. I need fresh visuals in my mind. I don't want to die on that hill yet.
Yeah, I don't know what it was about this movie, but it wasn't, like, a big thing in my house. Like, I think I've seen it maybe, like, twice in my life before the last week watching it for this. Yeah.
I remember it being, like, even a big deal at school. Like, everyone saw it. Everyone was talking about it. It was a huge movie when it came out. And I think, like, all the, restaurants had their little toys and whatnot.
I remember everybody talking about Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Oh yeah.
About
too.
A month before this came out.
Well, that too. That was also very popular. Yeah. Not necessarily the movie, just the rhino.
Kind of warming these rhinos.
That was a different rhino stampede.
This was also the same Christmas as fucking GoldenEye and Toy Story.
No way.
Oh, goddamn, yeah, it was. Wow, what a year for toys. Holy shit.
And for the Nintendo 64.
Oh. Yeah, right.
Worst Bond soundtrack of all time, though.
Mm.
What?
It's terrible. They don't even play the goddamn Bond theme but once in that whole goddamn soundtrack. For fucking like 8 seconds, it pisses me off. Anyway.
Yeah, they didn't do a lot of the Bond like toys in that one either, did they?
They'd never usually do Bond toys.
I mean like Bond gadgets is what I meant to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Pierce Brosnan didn't really have very many, you know, toys.
No, just that one. He got a car that shot missiles in the next one. They fixed it. Don't worry.
Didn't he have a fucking watch that had a laser beam?
Yeah, he had a watch, Mike. I need more than just a watch.
Well, he cut a hole in some shit with a watch, so I feel like that was pretty badass.
And he also had the pin that exploded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boris, I am invincible. Yeah.
Keep clicking
fucking
it.
Classic.
Yeah.
I think that may have been it. Maybe that was it. What are you going to do?
Well, Q is old. What are you going to do?
He's like, I got nothing else, man. Kind of run to the end here.
Is this your pen? What am I supposed to do with this pen?
You'll figure it out.
What'd you guys think about Robin Williams in this? Like him, love him, want more of it, feel weird? Give me your thoughts. Come on.
Wait, I think he's acting his ass off. I think he's great. Like when he pops up and he's running around the house, I feel it. You know, like he's.
You feel his emotion.
I do.
I feel him
acting as a child through his older self a lot and how he reacts to people.
Yeah. He definitely conveys the education level of a sixth grader. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it works really well. Did you find it weird, Mike?
I felt a lot of Hook in this movie. Specifically just from Robin Williams. Like there's several moments where like, okay, that's a thing you did in Hook. That's a thing you did in Hook. That's a thing you did in Hook. And like, I think maybe it was just watching it again tonight and kind of observing a little bit more objectively of like, this is where I see some of the wishing we could be Spielberg, but doesn't quite get there kind of things. And I don't know if it's just the way Robin was or if it was Joe Johnson kind of trying to channel other people, but not really having a whole lot of creative style of his own. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Man, I think this is way better than Hook, and Robin Williams is way better in this movie. I mean, first off, like, fuck, this is 40 minutes goddamn shorter. Thank you.
That's fair. That's
fucking fair. Fucking thank you. The crocodile, better in this movie. All the excitement. It was actually exciting and kept coming. It wasn't little kids, like, sitting around talking, I believe, Peter. No, there was
You're
like
doing
shit
it, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, there was excitement here to be had.
There were actual stakes in this. I will give it that. Yeah.
Come on, no. I was.
The food was real if you believed in it, Mike.
Well, he had an apple out of a big bowl, so he believed in that.
I was surprised how low-key Robin Williams was the entire movie. I thought
that's a good word for it, yeah.
Going to blow up into his, like, Aladdin genie or, like, you know, Peter Pan Hook at the end. Yeah. And he keeps it.
Yeah, very subdued, yeah.
I like subdued Robin Williams, though.
Yeah, he knows how to get serious also. But I thought that's the only problem with his character that I had is that he was turning on the little boy. And I didn't get the motivation for that.
Because like, his dad did it to him.
Yeah, it's trying to be his dad. Like,
I get
look,
it. When they finally have the moment, he's like, I'm sorry. You know, I actually ended up becoming my dad no matter what. But like a few scenes before that, when the first time he gets angry at him, I'm like, where did that come from? I didn't get the motivation of why he's, you know, mad at the
after
boy.
The Pelican incident? Yes. Yeah.
Why didn't he's you like, grab the game? You could have grabbed the game. Like, what the fuck? How would he know? Why didn't fucking anybody else grab the game? Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It felt
bizarre.
Like there's something
right.
missing there. Yeah.
I watched the deleted scenes. I didn't see anything there.
I think those are just elements of the script that's a little bit more awkward, where it's trying to have the moments of like here is him being his father, and like maybe it just was an awkward line, maybe they did it in ADR in post and then they just didn't, you know, like find the right tone because it was like way after or something. Maybe it was just a poor decision from the director.
He expects more from Peter because he's a boy. Like is that
well,
that
do you have a problem with the line or the intensity of the delivery or like just
both?
Where Yeah.
I think it is. I think it is partly like it is his father coming through, and he sees like this now younger version, and he's now in charge, and he's like, I know how to be a man, and this is what being a man is in my head. And if you were like a man, like, you know, yeah, you would have grabbed the thing, and just like he would have. It's the way he talks to himself, and so Peter is like a kind of an extension of that. And so it is nice when he has that moment and where he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm actually being really unfair to you." I thought that was nice.
Yeah. He's like, "I'm not really scared or crying right now. It's just my tail is bunched up in my butt."
I got you, dog.
That was a good visual gag.
That is.
And I don't know. I kind of like the axe one, but that one felt a little too long.
Oh, when they break the fourth wall?
Yeah.
When he's like, good. Oh, it was right fucking here the whole time. Cool.
I thought that was good. And the only time I really ever laughed out loud is when he's like sinking in the floor and they keep handing him shit. He's like, quit giving me things that come apart. I actually had an audible like laugh there. Yeah. I was like, all right.
Well, it's so good because when they hand him the trombone, you're like, of course that one's good. It's such a good buildup.
Yeah. That scene's great.
That even lets like the kids know, like they know in the audience that what the joke is, what's going to happen.
Yeah, and we finally get our Bonnie Hunt, Robin Williams, like locked in this position that they can't break free from, you know, face to face. It makes him slow down a little bit and realize that, you know, hey, that's a cute girl right there.
Well, he's always liked her. It's just getting over his fear.
Well, he had a moment to kiss her earlier, then he just like starts talking about some other dumb shit. And she's like,
afraid. Oh. He's a little 12-year-old boy. He's afraid.
He's 40 years old, Kristen.
And he hasn't seen another human being since he was 12.
Wait, well, no, he was like 38, right?
26 years after being in sixth grade, whatever that counts to.
Sixth grade is what, like 11, 12?
10, yeah, 11, 12. 38, maybe 39. He's
I think
40.
He in real life was like 44.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
And just because of the fucking CGI hair, though, speaking of Robin Williams, I did keep noticing how goddamn hairy his fucking hands were. His actual, oh my God.
Hair okay, dude. Can I tell you, that was the one part that I was like, that doesn't really make sense, where he is like, Mom, Dad, I'm home. And I'm like, I know you can see how hairy you are. Like, you know how much time has passed.
Right, yeah.
And what are the rules on that? Like, when you get sucked into the game, he spent 26 years there?
Mm-hmm. Well, because they started the game and they never finished it. So, yeah. He's still in the game. Yeah.
In the jungle, you will wait.
So, could he have died in the jungle? And just like, oh, they rolled an 8 and would you come back? Or did you just be like, well, there's his dead body. He died in the jungle 20 years ago.
Well, that's an interesting question. What if everybody dies? Do you just pop back at the end?
I mean, it theoretically, seems like that, yeah.
Because the kid's parents are still alive.
You know?
And their parents were prevented from dying because they were told not to go on their little skiing vacation. So
the game's kind of non-destructive. It fucks up everything. And then, you know, then it's all for naught, you know? He poops you all at the end. You're like, you lost. Play again, you know?
Cat in the Hat, the board game.
Yeah.
You just get to keep your trauma. It's fine.
Yeah, that is weird that you hang
it's
on
about
to everything.
The trauma we made along the way.
Well, just Robin Williams and Bonnie Hunt, right?
Yeah, the other kids did.
No, it seems like the kids remember.
Really? Did you think they remembered him?
They didn't seem like that to me.
I didn't think they remembered. No. I thought they were just creeped out. They're like, why is this person know so much about us? And they give us presents.
All right, maybe I'm just projecting, but I read it as that they were like remembering things too, and like you could kind of looked like Kirsten Dunst was gonna like tell a lie for them of like making it okay, like she was like maybe thinking
but
about
how,
that kind of stuff.
Would they know?
I don't know.
How would they know?
I was thinking about it again tonight. Like,
well, they weren't born until like, you know, 20 some odd years later, and then, you know,
I don't know. There's a weird line. When they go back to the 60s and he finally kisses the girl when they're little kids. Mm-hmm. And what did she say? Like, kiss me quick before I forget or I can.
She says, I need to do something before I feel too much like a kid again.
Oh, is that what she said? All right. So she's not actually saying she's forgetting.
I actually thought it was interesting that the kids, like, there you can see them at the end without the trauma and the grief and everything they went through. I thought it showed really good, like, that they can have, like, how different their lives are, actually. Like, how does Kirsten Dunst? Well, yeah, but does Kirsten Dunst have a lying problem in the new timeline? Oh, because she seemed like actually happy in this one.
Yeah, they were stoked about those presents for sure.
No, just like the way, like look at the way she greets them versus the way she greeted him at the beginning. It's totally different.
That's a good point.
Well, I know the original intention of the scene, they were not supposed to remember because their presents that was actually cut out of the film, the presents were actually Jumanji shoes. Paris Shoe Company made a Jumanji shoe. And the kids open it and they're like, that's a weird name for a tennis shoe. Jumanji? And Robin Williams says, yeah, I'll tell you about it someday.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
True story. They actually made the shoe. Yeah, because, you know, the one guy who makes like the Air Jordans or whatever that the machine parish press. Yeah. The parish.
I can get Will Chamberlain to wear these.
The Soul Man.
You know, if you were going to work at a shoe company, that's how you want to be that referred is to as.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Saving souls and healing people.
Excuse me, may I see your soul? The bottom of your shoe.
Saving souls and healing people. Soul Man. Woo!
Soul Man, a pair of shoes.
All right, so we all know we're not going to do better than that. So we're going to take a break. We're going to watch the trailer for Joe Johnson's Jumanji. We'll be right back.
There's a game called Jumanji that has a life all its own.
You have no idea what you are getting yourself into.
An ancient game where the primitive spirit of the jungle can leap out and take hold of your world.
I've seen things you can't even imagine. Things you can't even see.
And those who have ever played the game know the dangers that lie within.
You're afraid. It's okay to be afraid.
I am not afraid of anything.
Prove it. It's a jungle in there.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Joe Johnston's Jumanji.
It's a jungle in there.
With musical score from Stargate, for some reason.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's why it sounded familiar.
Come on, guys. That was a good trailer. You got trailer guy voice. You guys are giving me long faces right now.
I like the trailer. It was a little long set up in the beginning. Like, I didn't care about him being afraid. But then I enjoyed a lot the adventure, like especially like it looked like a super fun kids movie, the way it set up. And then it like suddenly you don't care what the animals look like anymore.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to throw those animals in there and see them so in there, all of the stuff, that it felt pretty good. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of energy.
I was thinking about what's the button on the side of the Jumanji box all about? Anybody else notice that?
Is that just like you open? Isn't that how you open the sides?
No, it's got little handles on the side that like little like kind of engraved spots that where you can lift the door open. You know where it kind of opens like a book. But on either side, there's like a little button halfway across.
Yeah, I thought you would have to press that.
Lock.
Well, yeah. Otherwise, the doors would just open all the time every time you turn the board game over, right?
You just never see them push it. You know, they just go and open it.
That's true.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah.
Well, what do you think the button's for then, Jared?
It has to be a lock. I just wish, you know, that they went through all that trouble and we never got to see him push it. And for some reason, the dice stick to it every now and then. Like, you can throw, like, you know, the normal pieces always stick to the board. But every now and then, it seems like you'd lose those dice.
Yeah, it's amazing that they kept up with it.
Yeah, no
time.
Shit.
Yeah. Can we use these dice?
Nope.
Like in Jumanji 3, like they lose one of the die and they've got to like figure it out, you know? Maybe they have to like craft a new one somehow.
It's in video games, bro. There's no dice.
Go ahead.
I was going to say I did enjoy a young Kirsten Dunst in this. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah. She's not like quite baby vampire levels of young, but she's like still early career. And yeah, she's delightful in this.
She was a little kid. Yeah.
No, she was fantastic.
Not fantastic. No, her fantastic was Interview with the Vampire. She is fantastic in that.
Yes.
This is just like, it's just a little kid performance. It's nothing.
I actually forgot that she was in this. And as soon as she came on screen, I was like, oh my God, what a joy.
Yeah. Same.
I actually thought the little brother was better.
He was good too. Yeah.
I liked him better.
I like that he turns into a monkey. That's my favorite part.
Oh, that's great.
I like that they foreshadowed the monkey bit when he goes to the river and he climbs that fucking like tree thing and he flips around while he's holding on his feet. I was like, holy shit. I didn't really pick up on that the first time, but watching again tonight, I was like, okay, I see you guys like trying to lay some stuff there. Like, it makes sense that he does the monkey thing.
Yeah, well, and then he also, like, his next or his first role or whatever is he's the one who calls them the monkeys, too. Like,
yeah. Oh, true. Yeah.
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 Monkey boy.
What'd you think of the costumes, Kristen?
I thought they were great. And I especially liked that even though they're, like, super 90s, they're not... I think they could, a lot of them could come up today. I guess the 90s are actually in style right now, but a lot of them hold up really, really well. And I also love Robin Williams' costume, his jungle one, because like it's like what a little boy would put together.
It's true. Yeah. And he does a damn good job.
Yeah.
And then he like puts on these like nasty old clothes that he just looks awful. But like it's what, like he doesn't know how to dress himself, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was great, all of it. Yeah.
I tell you who was great, and that was Bebe Neuwirth. Like, and she's in a little bit more of a slightly reserved role in this one. You know, she normally plays big characters. Think about like, what was the last movie we did? How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. She was the boss. Mm-hmm. And she's so good in this, just as the. Is she their aunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she was awesome.
Yeah, she's out of everyone that I would say she's the most dressed, stereotypically 90s. And it still works really well. And honestly, I don't think they overdid it because, again, you could look at it and not necessarily think that she's dated. Like, nothing in this is really dated, which I liked.
Mm. I did like that they gave Robin Williams like the clothes from the fucking homeless guy that was like squatting in the office. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of reason to meet this guy other than just character exposition. So the fact that they like gave him something else to do of like, here, it's cold outside, you can change your clothes. And so it like gives a reason to move the story along.
And that guy doesn't even question that he's dressed in fucking banana leaves. He's like, oh, here, you might be cold. Here, put this on.
Can I have some of those banana leaves?
Yeah. He's been through some shit too, okay? Like, we've all been there.
Yeah. He's got a dog.
Bro, he's got it all set up, man. He's got that fucking fireplace. He's got that whole place to himself. That's a pretty badass, like,
crash.
That's
a great fucking...
I thought is he homeless? I thought he was, like, a caretaker or something, because he does have it all set up like that.
No, he definitely looks like a squatter.
He is a squatter. He's definitely a squatter. Yeah, he's got it figured out, though.
It's got a lot of natural light. There's a good fireplace to keep it warm.
Yeah, man.
Everything a homeless man needs. It's a home.
I did think the factory was a little bit staged with like all the shoes strewn about and like the things tipped over. Like, it's one of those, it's been over a quarter of a decade. Like, wouldn't more of this stuff have been taken in the first place? Like, are we supposed to believe that it was just like abandoned one day and everybody walked out and left all the shit? Or like,
I constantly see videos online of like, you know, like a Burger King from like the mid 90s that hasn't been touched, and it's still got shit like everywhere.
People just walk out.
People just walk away. Like it does happen. It does happen. But
interesting.
Oh yeah, like the most recent one I saw was Ponchos, which is like a a Mexican style restaurant here in this area, and the people just walked away. There's still menus on the tables.
Holy shit, really?
You know, yeah, and all the chairs. They just closed the door and left.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Wow.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do with it? I mean, especially if you're just like the manager, you're like, it's not my problem.
Well, I mean, they spent all their money trying to find their kid when all they had to do was like listen to the crazy little girl and just like roll the fucking dice, you know? Like,
yeah, you're going to spend all your money, everything. No,
That was the best part of the story is how no one believed her, because why would they? And she ended up becoming like a psychic shut-in. Like, it was fantastic.
Yeah. You still wouldn't try to go roll the dice again?
26 and years. 26
It was her turn. All she had to do was like sneak in and do it again. You know?
My favorite part of that is when she calls her psychologist or psychiatrist and is like, I'm having an episode and I really like your thoughts on this.
God, Bonnie Hunt is just fantastic in this. Like, she conveys so many layers of like history and trauma and context and all the things, while at the same time like being in the moment. She's fantastic.
I would have played this board game much faster. You know,
that's my biggest thing with all
right?
of it. Is
like
they
the
just
fucking dice
around.
And roll the next thing before the deal happens.
Just
come on.
pass, roll.
I agree with you. I don't know why they wouldn't just like quickly go through it, but they did kind of show that towards the end where they are trying to do that. And
they're like,
and,
holy shit, yeah.
And they get like separated, and that's when they get separated, and Robin Williams gets stuck in the floor, and like that's when things start happening. So it kind of makes sense that they wait a little bit, but yeah, that's my biggest complaint.
Bonnie Hunt would have read that monsoon thing, and I would have already rolled.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to wait on the game to move the piece and like bring up the letters and like, you know, read it in the little window. And then, you know.
As soon as those letters are appearing, push,
roll again. Let's go. We're going to have a queue. It's going to be waiting.
But that's not playing the game, is it? You want to play the game.
Do you think the boys in the very beginning of this movie played the game?
Yeah.
The two dudes from the opening. Let me say that differently. Do you think they finished the game, or do you think they started it and were like, fuck this, we're going
to
bury it?
Well, they had to have finished it, because if they didn't finish it, then there'd still be pieces on the board, right?
Yeah.
Well, no, because they died. It's been 100 years. And
they couldn't have died. They buried it.
No. She just means like
in real life.
They died.
They died in real life, and so the game would have to reset.
From natural causes, Brian, just because it's been so long ago.
What?
You don't live forever.
The kid from the 1800s are dead, bro.
No, but the pieces would still be on the board if they didn't finish the game.
Like, no, if not if they died.
The game knows if they died, bro. The game is sentient.
Yeah.
The game thinks.
Okay, wait, no, I don't buy that then, because why... the only way I believe Robin Williams is able to survive for 26 years is that it's because... the game kept him alive. Like, you're just waiting in the jungle. That's what you have to do. You don't have to, you know, you're just waiting in the jungle. You just had to wait 26 years.
He was having to hide from, like, Van Pelt and, like, all the giant
but
spiders.
But he didn't die.
And
he survived as a little kid. I'm just saying. He was a 12-year-old boy.
But I think what I'm saying, but if he had, like, you think he would have just lived there for, like, 100 years or 300 years or 1,000 years?
Yeah.
Like, he's trapped in immortality?
Well, that's what the whole thing with the game is, right? Like, the game resets when you finish playing it, right? Otherwise, you're stuck in a limbo state with all this shit out in the world, and your pieces are on this board.
Yeah, the bats are still roaming around.
Otherwise, why would there be a reset? If they're, you know what I mean? That doesn't make any sense. Like, you would...
So then they finish the game. Yeah, that was the question.
Finish the game. And if anyone else finds it, may God have mercy on its soul.
I like that stuff.
I like that moment, but that was a really cheesy fucking delivery.
Why
that kid was
it?
Like, oh, I'm going to do it. Why didn't they burn it? How else was it supposed to get rediscovered?
Don't you know horror movies? It would just be unburnable. It's like Satan's Bible or something, you know? It came from the lower depths of hell. It's unburnable. All you can do is sink it or bury it. I don't know.
Throw it in an inland river, and it will end up on the other side of the ocean.
It will lose the bricks and rope and end up.
You could shoot it off into outer space, and John Favreau will shoot down a shitty fucking spinoff movie called Zathura at you.
I think that's actually a sequel, is it not?
It was supposed to be.
It's a spinoff. It's not really a sequel.
Same world, you know.
Yeah.
Based on the same book series. But the actual movie has no connection to this film at all whatsoever.
Did they go inside the game, or is it what's the deal with that one?
It's just the same. Yeah, it's the same thing. No, things start coming out, and their like house like rips out of the ground and floats out into outer space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, not good though.
Not good. Needed a baby Yoda.
Maybe.
The drums. Can you hear them?
Okay, hear? So Bebe Neuwirth couldn't hear the drums, but she could
are you
see...
listening to me?
She could but see all the chaos and the monkeys and the house destroyed and all that.
But I think it's that's in part of the instructions. It's for people who want to leave the world behind.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
That's who can hear the drums.
It does make it seem like only kids can hear it or people mm-hmm. that have already played
actively
the game before.
Playing the game.
Yeah.
I think the reason kids can hear it is because they can leave the world behind in their imagination.
So the whole movie happened in our imagination.
I mean, yeah, it kind of seems like
I'll buy that.
Not real.
Still kind of wears me out that like the kids are apparently not supposed to remember anything at the end of the movie. Like, how did they have the experience? And only two of the people who had the experience remember it, but not the other two. Like, why did Robin Williams and Bonnie Hunt remember it? Just because like it reset
because they were
to
playing
when
the game.
Started. Yeah, but so were the two other kids.
But they weren't though, because it sets it back. You know, it fixes everything. So it takes it all the way back. So they never had a chance to play the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird, though, because it's like, I don't know. When you get to the end, it's like, those aren't the same characters anymore. Those are totally
that's
different
what makes it
people.
Great.
They're dead as fuck. Yeah, those people are dead. Like that whole thought process, all that. Yeah, they're all dead.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, like Everything Everywhere All at Once. Why I had such a problem with that movie. It's just like, we just can't kill these characters off like this and... I'm not supposed to like feel weird about things, you know? Like,
yeah,
that person is gone, and now, like, I don't know these two kids at the end. They're totally different people.
Isn't that great, though? They have a totally new chance at life.
If you're
a child
and you like to experience things from a child's point of view and have everything wrapped up in a tiny bow, it's fine. But, like, I don't know. What is life?
But an adult says, no, this is how it is. It can't be anything else.
Well, no, okay, so Kristen, I guess, like, okay, so how I view, like, relationships are what's important to me, not just, like, the person. So, like, I made a relationship with that person. When I meet them again, they're not that person.
Yeah.
You're a totally different thing. Like, the person I loved is now dead.
So now you get in, well, they died before when you went
and
back
now,
in time.
Now I got
and
some
now
weird
you get a
clone
chance.
Version of you. That's
it's not,
not
a
the person.
Version.
I...
Now you get a chance to have a new
it's
relationship.
It's an alternate reality.
Exactly. That's like what's
you
messing
with my brain. You have a chance to start over with someone you love. It's sort of like the movies where you have to start over and you get another chance to love this person in a different way. That's not childish.
No, like going back in time and like saving somebody, right, from dying is different because we're not changing who they are. We're talking like these people had whole lives of years.
Yeah, change. How much of that entire like 26-year life did the two of them remember? Like, does Bonnie Hunt have an entire life of being a psychic that she also remembers? Does Robin
that
Williams
she probably
remember
wants
the
to
entire time in the
desperately forget?
I mean, probably, yeah.
I mean,
but
imagine,
maybe
I'm sure
like
they went to
floating
therapy.
Away. You did say, like, before I forget, before I don't feel like a kid, before I feel too much like a kid, I'm starting to feel like, what'd she say? I'm starting to forget what it was like to be an adult.
Which is nice. I mean, no, because it's like whenever something like, let's say you are going through, when you go through something traumatic, we've all had something awful happen. At some point, life does go back to a type of normal and you do kind of forget what it's like to be like deep in the trenches when you're going through something bad.
Okay.
Like
that's that's fair.
And that's why that's awesome because like, you know, we have character growth. They learned and fixed these things as adults. And when they went back in time, they got to go experience this whole life again with all this information that they learned before. It wasn't like they just started as little kids again. And now, like, I'm returning my bike. And
these two kids.
And these events in this movie didn't happen. So, like, when these two kids show up at the end of the movie, these are not the kids that I saw for the rest of the film. And I'm just like, it does weird you out a little bit. It's a little freaky. It's like an outer body, like, you're not the character.
No. They're not. They're reset. You don't, they don't need to integrate their parents' death anymore because now their parents are still alive. You get to see the little boy who never stopped talking because he was so upset. You get to see the little girl who's happy and can like actually like communicate and is not lying about everything constantly to cope. They don't need to integrate that because their parents are still there. And so who would they have been without that tragedy? That's what you get to see. You get to fall in love with them all over again. I think it's a nice thing.
Yeah, well, the movie spends the entire time that we're in the town setting that exact thing up. Like, the everything is moderately normal when Alan's a kid, and then when they're running around the town, like, everything is total shit. Like, there's homeless people warming themselves by fire. There's a triple X video store on the corner. Like, everything is going to shit, guys.
I don't know. See, Kristen, I don't think it's a nice thing. I like the Disney films that, like, when we kill mom and dad, we blow her fucking goddamn brain out. Her brain is splattered all over the wall, and we have trauma, and we deal with that, and we grow as individuals, because that's fucking life, kids, and we need to learn this shit. This is some bullshit fantasy crap that never exists in any of the real world, and all the lessons that we learned by the end of the movie are kind of ejected.
But so... I get what you're saying. You know I get what you're saying.
I'm for not two of the characters,
opposed
not for
to
everyone.
Children being orphaned.
That's true.
But I'm saying it's nice that like you don't have to be an orphan. Like they can still learn and grow with parents.
They can. It's just like I don't know.
And actually,
you
hold on.
You didn't have the balls to be
point.
Bambi
hold
or
on, hold
Finding
on.
Nemo?
Because
come on.
To your point, Brian, so it's I actually think it's really funny and it brings up an interesting question because when their parents say, oh, we were thinking about going on this trip and they say no, the question is, will they still find a way to die or will have they averted this whole crisis? Like how much does fate? Yes, how much does fate come into play here? Okay, and that is why I think it works here, Brian.
Chris is like death will close the loop. Don't worry.
Look, their parents are gonna die at some point. Okay, like this is not
listen,
again some immortal
thing.
Away,
I'm not gonna die the car crash. Instead, it's gonna be an avalanche.
But I do think that's an interesting question, which is a question I had when I was a kid too. Is did the parents like avert death, or will they still find another way to die, like in like a week or two?
Okay, so this goes back to why I read the scene as the kids also remember the whole situation because like they have the whole no, and everybody freaks out a second, and then there's a beat where the kids are like, the kids look relieved. Like, they knew what that meant, and they understood the implications of don't fucking go on this trip. And that, to me, was the clincher for, like, okay, they also remembered it, because now they're like, cool, now our parents aren't going to die.
Hold on, because if I was a kid and I knew my parents were going to die, I would not be like, let me pretend because I had a kid and don't know. I'd be like, no, don't go on the trip because you're going to die.
Yeah, we would have
okay?
already had this
Maybe they've been saying that, and maybe the parents were like, but it's just skiing, guys, and we're going to be fine. You'll be with grandma, whatever.
Yeah, I did not read that they knew that their parents were going to die.
Interesting.
Actually, when they freaked out and the kids were like, what the fuck? I definitely read it as like, why are you so weird?
Yeah.
Because those kids don't know them. And Robin Williams is like, come, you can live in our house. Yes.
Yeah. They were
this was
super
your
creepy.
House is my house. Wait, what? Sorry. Time and things. And
excuse me, Alan Parrish, do you have a van outside that says free candy?
And I mean, look, I don't think this is really it, but Brian, I know how you like horror movies. I mean, we could have like a sequel that's not exactly a sequel where Robin Williams murders the parents because he wants the kids to come live with them and like this is how it's meant to be.
You could absolutely recut this movie to be that with the right music tones. Get Bonnie Hunt at the end going, we love kids. And she's holding her belly and then you cut to like a table and she's like eating some shit. Like...
Why are you guys not working at studios? Holy shit. This is the entertainment I'm here for.
Did anyone else find it weird that they waited that long to get pregnant, even though they've been together since high school?
You know, he had
I mean,
to build
fucking
a
middle school,
business.
But yeah.
Middle school, yeah.
I mean.
Ooh, was 1 hour photo the sequel to Jumanji that we wanted?
Oh my God. Oh my God, Brian. No. Oh my God.
Kristen, no. Was that the movie you were talking about?
Don't do that.
Sorry.
That's some subdued Robin Williams right there.
How did Sarah die? She's still trapped in the game?
What?
I was just thinking if 1 hour photo was, I was like, well, how did he get rid of Sarah?
He just waited for her to get that card, and he's like, I'm out. I'm not playing for 26 fucking years.
That's right. Fucking payback.
And then he goes to jail, and he's like, sir, obviously you murdered your wife.
I did not. She's in the game, I promise. Just roll the dice.
He's like, well, this kind of blew up to be a gone girl in my face. All right, I'm done with movie references. Are we at ratings?
Ooh.
Sure. All right. Who is going first? Who's rating Jumanji? Jumanji. Nobody say anything, so I'm going to go ahead and go. I'm going to give this movie an 8. I'm going to take off you know what? I'll give it an 8.5. The special effects stuff, it's not great, but you know what? For 95, I can really can't think of any time hair was used in CGI to this extent. I always think of hair in CGI. What was John Goodman's character in fucking Monsters, Inc.? That's the first time.
Sully.
Yeah. Oh, man. That was fucking amazing. That's when I remembered, like, oh, they got hair.
Yeah.
It's here. Like, you could see it, like, move around when he moved, and it was just like, oh, that was good. But it was just like, I don't know, 2001. So you kind of have to give this a pass, but for that. But, I mean, like, I think everything else, like, the production design is good. The score works well. The cinematography is, maybe it's a little workman, but, I mean, it's well told. Like, you're getting all the scenes. It's built really well. Just everything. Like, the puppetry is working well. We're doing the Jurassic Park model of puppets to CGI. It's flowing. It is a kid's film too. And you know, like I remember the audience in theaters ate this shit up at the time. You know, the movie did make $100 million in the United States, made like 262 worldwide. So we're talking about a hit here. It is kind of weird though that the sequels ended up almost, both of them ended up almost grossing $1 billion.
That's the rock.
I mean, some of it, yeah, I guess, but still, you know, it's like, what the fuck happened there? I don't know. It just, it caught on. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it an 8.5, and this is definitely better than Hook. The better family fun adventure Robin Williams film. Who's going next?
You shut your fucking mouth, man. Hook is incredible, and yeah. They're different things, man. I know, same actor.
It is
know?
Not different things. It's like family fantasy adventure. It's the same fucking thing.
No, it's
thing.
A different thing.
No, it's not, Jared.
It's all right. Whatever. My only big gripe with this one is also the visual effects. But yet again, you know, it's of its time. As a kid, this movie wowed the fuck out of me, and I've seen it countless times, and I still find it entertaining, and I love revisiting old films that I watched when I was a kid. I'll give it a 9 just because of the special effects just kind of made it a little bit difficult to watch. And also and that one little weird turn with his character with Peter.
That did need to be better explained. I agree.
Yeah.
Who's next?
I thought this was a great movie. I was actually really surprised at how well it held up. I saw this all the time as a kid and I have not seen it since. And I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it, and the special effects are not as great as they could have been, but also this was super early, and I think everything considered, it works. I love the mix of practical and CGI,
yeah.
And especially when you're a kid, I don't think you really care that much. This is really cool. I thought the acting was pretty great. There were a couple of things that I would like to have been improved upon. But honestly, I think my biggest complaint is that it was too short. I was expecting, especially with movies now, they really drag it on and you're like, okay, come on. But this one, they wrap it up so quickly. And when he finally calls Jumanji, you're like, oh, it's kind of sad. So just because of how much I enjoyed it, I'm going to give it a 10. With special effects and with some of the drawbacks, I would probably give it a 9. But it's so enjoyable that I don't know that it really matters at this point. So I'm going to give it a 10.
10, better than Hook. All right.
Damn. Don't know that it really matters because it's enjoyable. Isn't that the whole fucking point of this entire jam? Like, we're just trying to put things on screen so that it's enjoyable as a ride. Like, you have some kind of a journey from start to finish. And you know what? This movie fucking delivers on that. I think there are elements of the script that are a little bit rote. There are pieces of, like, the movie that are commonplace. But, like, I've been asked by some directors, like, give me a generic shot like this. And I've thought about it. People say things are generic because they're just so standard. Like, how else are you going to design it? How else are you going to make a phone that doesn't look like an iPhone? Well, nothing looked like the iPhone until it fucking came out. So, like, there is a level of, like, there's obvious is a word that you can use for art once you've seen it. But when you're trying to fucking create it, it's really goddamn hard. And this is one of those movies that, like, watching it, a lot of it feels obvious, but you know what? Thinking about it, it's really well constructed. This is like a working man's working movie. Nothing about the cinematography and the lighting is super spectacular, but it all fucking works. It all tells the stories. Nothing about the script is outlandishly bonkers, like cool, but it does take an interesting concept and do cool things with it. And most of the characters have actual progression. And, like, we start from a place and we go through a whole fucking journey and we end somewhere new and we care about all the shit that happened on the way there. And you know what? That's pretty fucking brilliant. And the fact that this movie is 30 years old and still holds up is really impressive. I want to knock this movie for some of the visual effects that don't stand a 30-year test of time. But you know what? It was still pretty fucking early. And like we already said, the energy of these shots moving from shot to shot and scene to scene just pushes the whole thing forward. And I can look at a single moment and be like, that didn't really work. But you know what? The whole fucking sequence absolutely sings. And there's not much more that I can actually ask from this movie. If this was made 10 years later, all of those things would have probably been fine and great, because we saw Joe Johnston do that with several movies after it, including Captain America, which looks fucking fantastic. This is a pretty brilliant movie. I love all the things that we got out of it. Bonnie Hunt is sublime. Robin Williams does everything that we wanted in Hook and everything that he can do. Both of the kids are fantastic. Fuck it. This movie's a 10.
Wow. All right. A 10.
Yeah.
I really like the effects work in The Rocketeer, too. I know that's, like, before CGI, but...
Oh, man.
I fucking love that.
I need to go back and watch that one. Oof.
Dude, I watched it last night. I was watching this again for the second time. I was like, I gotta watch The Rocketeer. Fuck all. And then I started to watch Dick Tracy and fell asleep.
Rocketeer's a better movie.
Yes. You got some Rotten Tomatoes for us that are jerk.
A feast for the eyes with a somewhat malnourished plot, Jumanji is a underachieving adventure that still offers a decent amount of fun for the whole family. Rotten Tomatoes brings in Jumanji with a 52% tomato meter and a 63% popcorn meter.
I'm surprised.
I guess it was a busy year and all those critics were bored of good movies.
Well, when this came out, you have to remember that Toy Story came out, like, literally the weekend before, or, like, three weekends before, so...
That's a lot to stand up against. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook and X. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on X at Jared B. Callen.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can follow me on X at Twitter. At Elkins Edits. And I guess we'll give you like 5 seconds of a Jumanji score sting. Enjoy. Oh, yeah, there you go. Jumanji drums. Thank you.